The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Radio ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. What's up, nerds? And starting quarterback for your Chicago Bears is... I mean, it's the same thing every year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Knicks drop another heartbreaker, but Coach Thibodeau, Tibbs, finds silver linings. Let me tell you something. I told you yesterday that the Knicks had no shot to win this game. This is a schedule loss with or without Embiid. You're playing the second of back-to-back on the road. Yeah, I know one of them was in Brooklyn and the other's in Philly. It's not, you know, it's an hour and a half away, whatever. But still, it's a second of back-to-back on the road against the better team. The fact that the Knicks made both games close, it's not, well, there are no moral victories. Yes, there are. There absolutely are moral victories for a team like the Knicks. That was huge the way they played the last two games. Now, look, Julius Randle missed his last seven attempts. R.J. Barrett muffed a crucial wide-open 10-foot fadeaway. Emmanuel quickly bricked a potential game-tying three-pointer. And those are the three best players, really. It's going to happen. A young team. I know. Look, I get it. It's a little bit of a stretch when you say second of back-to-back on the road as though they're on a West Coast road trip or something. But still, they played two consecutive nights against two Eastern Conference powerhouses, the best two teams in the conference. Even if one of them's missing Durant and the other missing Embiid, their two best players, those are still two formidable teams. And they lost narrowly to each. You know, when you think about, remember the Titans. It's one of the all-time great sports movies, right? The whole point, the reason it's called Remember the Titans was the speech toward the end, right? Just make sure they always remember the day they played the Titans. That's what you want. You want the reason that was moving was because, and the reason this Knicks team is resonating with the city more than previous iterations of kind of playoff bubble type Knicks teams. Are they going to make it? Are they not? It's one thing to win some games or to squeak into a playoffs in a league where 2/3 of the teams play past the regular season, right? But it's another thing when teams that play you, whether they win or lose, you leave a little piece of yourself with them. You know, you make an imprint on them. Emmanuel Stewart, one of the late great Emmanuel Stewart, a friend of mine and a colleague of mine and one of the greatest boxing trainers of all time, trained Tommy Hearns, the Kronk Gym head, Emmanuel Stewart, who later trained Lennox Lewis and Vladimir Klitschko. You know, we used to talk about heavyweights sometimes, and I think it was Eddie Futch who used to say, the great trainer of Joe Frazier and many others, used to say, heavyweights today, and this is going back to the 1980s, there was a whole slew of fat, out-of-shape heavyweights. You know, it was the, like, right before performance enhancers. And there was a lot of drugs in professional sports, but not the kind that enhanced performance, right? And there were a bunch of fat heavyweights who you could go 15 rounds, and there wasn't a mark on either guy. Then Mike Tyson came along, and all these heavyweights were like, oh, we better get in shape. This guy's coming to kill us. But the point is, that ain't Remember the Titans. You go 15 rounds, you don't even know you fought anybody. Right? You could have a Knicks team with the same record as this Knicks team, a game below 500. But they don't really like leave a piece of themselves with their opponents. This Knicks team is different. This ain't a fat 1980s heavyweight out of shape. Teams remember when they play them. They make you earn it. Believe me, the Nets and the Sixers have a little piece of the Knicks with them right now. So, there's no such thing as moral victories. There is. That's not true. There is. There absolutely is for this team. Of course they're going to lose to the Nets and the Sixers. They almost freaking won. That's amazing. This Knicks team is undermanned. most teams they come up against have more talent than they do. And by talent, I mean like R.J. Barrett may wind up being an all-star, but well, I'm not talking about potential. I mean realized talent. Most teams will have more talent than the Knicks. They're working harder than other teams. Tobias Harris was good last night. They got players on the Sixers. Even without Embiid, they got a crew. And Thibodeau, I think, struck the right chord when he said, you know, they dragged the best two teams in the conference down to the last possession. Neither won at Madison Square Garden. He's right about that. So they go 1-3 on the road trip, but that's one of the best 1-3s you're going to see. It is. And by the way, am I the guy to give you the good news on the Knicks? I'm not. But you got to, I mean, we have. Let's be realistic. That's what happened. Now the Knicks are going back to the Garden, and they have the Orlando Magic on Thursday. Now, this is what I said before the Sacramento game, before the All-Star break. Remember, they were a game below 500. And I said, when a team like Sacramento comes to the Garden, you must win. It was a must-win game for the Knicks, I thought, in their season. Because if you fall two games below 500 and you can't beat a team like Sacramento when you're rested and you're at home, get out of here. You know, it's like a gut. It's a weird kind of first half of the season gut check time for a team like the Knicks. Can you actually get the win? Orlando, it's the same sort of thing. If the Knicks are serious this season, you got to beat a team like Orlando at home after you had a moral victory against the Nets or victories against the Nets and the Sixers, but losses in the standings. You cannot fall two games below 500 hosting a team like Orlando. You must win that game if you're the Knicks to get to 500. That is an early second half of the season must-win game. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Should the Knicks make a trade for a playoff push? Like, are they buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? Or, because, yeah, maybe they make the playoffs. They ain't going to make any real noise in the playoffs in terms of winning playoff series. That's out. They ain't going to beat in a playoff series, the Nets, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Heat, or the Celtics. They ain't beating any of those squads. None of them. They don't have a chance. They'll be a tough out in the first round because they play defense with heart, as I just said. They'll remember the nights they played the Knicks, but they're going to beat the Knicks. So should they be buyers now to try to get better or sellers because they can stockpile more resources for the future? Well, listen to Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider on the 6 o'clock SportsCenter last night.
I never believed I would have said this in October, but they are buyers. They have three picks on the upcoming draft, two first-round picks, and the Detroit Pistons' second-round pick, which is going to be at the top of the second round. They're interested in potentially using one of those to bring in a player. But if they don't do something at the trade deadline, doesn't mean they're done, Kevin. They've got $15 million in salary cap space, and executives that I've talked to think that the Knicks could make a bid for some of these guys who might get bought out, a guy like Andre Drummond, a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge. Not only could they outbid other teams, but they could potentially offer a multi-year deal to win out to try to add another piece, especially a guy who can score. They need scoring right now on this roster. So just because they don't make a trade doesn't mean the Knicks aren't going to be very aggressive next week.
Careful, Knicks. Careful. They got to be careful right now because you don't want, like, the kind of player they add, if they have, you know, if they put them into the cap space they have, because they have $15 million of cap space. You just heard Brian Windhorst say it. The kind of player they add, especially if it's going to be multi-year, must be additive both in terms of the culture of the team and the production on the floor. It has to be, he has to be the kind of player that other players want to play with. He's a lot, it's like, you know, a muscular move means one move that accomplishes many things. Like, a muscular sentence in writing is all the words in the sentence are doing a lot of work, conveying a lot of meaning, right? A muscular move in chess accomplishes a lot of stuff. I brought my knight over here. I'm defending this king's, you know, pawn over here. I'm attacking the center of the board. I'm doing all these different things with this one move. When the Knicks make a move, if they're going to be buyers, the guy they bring on has to not only fill a need on the team presently to make a playoff push this year, because after all, making the playoffs is good for the Knicks right now. You want to send that message to Lee. Look, we're a playoff team. We're heading in the right direction. But also has to be the kind of guy that others want to play with. And if he signed for more than a year, has to be the kind of contract that where the Knicks keep, they retain flexibility and with the cap space and everything, and has to be the kind of asset that they could also flip if they need to. It's a lot. Who's like that? Who's like that out there? Andre Drummond and guys like that are the more obvious guys. What about a point guard, a dynamic point guard to organize the offense? Is Lonzo Ball or someone like that available for the right deal? Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Big Perk, it's very, very big of you to come on this show after I handed you that beating on First Take today. You came on the show anyway. That's a real man.
Oh, Max, I set you down, and what I did today was called virtual school. I actually taught you today. You had to turn on your laptop, and I gave you virtual learning today. That's what that was. You wasn't handing over no damn L's, okay? You was just sitting there listening to me speak the gospel as I do on the norm.
Hmm. Well, Perk, speak the gospel on this. When KD gets back, is anyone in the NBA, including the Lakers with a healthy AD, stopping the Nets?
Yes. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. The Nets look great right now, okay? And Kyrie is playing some of the best basketball of his career, and so is James Harden. And we know when Kevin Durant comes back, we know it's going to take it to another level. Max, I'm starting to have a little concern, though. I mean, KD's been out. You know, they say it's with a hamstring injury. You know, I don't know what's really going on. Like you said, you told us time and time again with the Achilles, you know, that could take a while. Some injuries may occur while you're trying to get back in rare form. I don't know. I'm just asking. But I'm going to tell you this. The Philadelphia 76ers, they are not playing any games, okay? Yep. They are serious over there. They play agenda-free basketball. Defensively, they are locked in. And they have multiple guys that could get the job done. Tobias Harris is playing phenomenal. Seth Curry is balling. Dwight Howard, the backup center, is coming in, and he's playing outside his mind right now, looking like a young Orlando Dwight Howard. And then you have Shake Milton off the bench. I'm telling you, this Philly team, they are my pick to coming out of the Eastern Conference. I know
look, you're right about KD, and this is my fear coming into this year. What I'm saying is if KD gets back healthy, Perk, I don't think they can be stopped. But that's a big if. Otherwise, you're right. By the way, you didn't even mention Thibel. Like, if that dude ever really learns how to shoot, it's going to be a problem because he can certainly defend. They are a deep team. Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers has done a great job. And Embiid, when he's been on the floor, I think, has been the MVP this year. I know you've talked about Harden. And now with Embiid injured, I think Harden has a better case. But you know who I think it has the best case at this moment? Because Harden wasn't there in the beginning, because Embiid is now missing time, it's LeBron. LeBron's missed one game all season. Is he going to win the MVP?
He could, and especially the way that he's playing right now, back-to-back triple-doubles, shooting at a high-efficiency level. And if the Lakers finish with the number one seed in the Western Conference, I believe they're not too far behind the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz have been looking a little suspect lately. If the Lakers could finish with their number one seed or even number two, I think we got to hand it over to LeBron James. Because to finish number two in the season without your second best player in the Western Conference, that says a lot.
Yeah, LeBron is like the way Harden is playing this year that makes you go, oh my God, it's the best he's ever played. And that's saying something. LeBron does that every year. Although I'll say for Harden, he's combining LeBron James level playmaking, court vision, and unselfishness right now with shooting that LeBron doesn't quite have. But he won there in the beginning of this season. You know, he was playing his way and purposely out of Houston, and LeBron's been there wire to wire, missed one game right before the All-Star break, and has been playing at a very high level as always. And Perk, there's another thing. I think because he's only won four MVPs, he's obviously deserved more. The way Jordan won five but should have gotten 10. LeBron's won four, probably deserves at least seven. I think people are going to realize we don't know how many more opportunities we're going to have to give him the MVP. So especially if he deserves it, I think he's going to win it this year.
I agree. But I'm going to tell you one person who's creeping up in the MVP conversation, and we cannot get bored with what he's doing right now, is Giannis.
Yeah.
Giannis is coming off three straight triple-doubles. We all know that he could get 30-plus in his sleep, 12, 14 rebounds in his sleep, but now he's making others around him better.
Yeah.
He's averaging double. I mean, these past three games, he's been in double-digit assists. And so when I'm looking at Giannis, I'm like, we can't get bored with him like we did with LeBron. Giannis could be in the conversation for the next 10
know
years.
Who else?
So
know who else?
Get
Perk.
Who?
Know who else? Talking to Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst here on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Know who else? The Joker. Jokic, talk about making guys around you better. Like, Embiid is having this incredible season, you know, up until his injury. And Embiid's having a better year because of the defense, too. But actually, the best offensive player in the game this year, you could easily argue, has been Jokic. He's been killing him every which way, Perk.
Yeah, he's been serving everyone. The problem is that I think winning and where you finish in your conference or with your record is going to matter in this year's MVP case because so many guys are putting up big numbers. But right now, Jokic cannot be guarded. And I watch Jokic, he killed Rudy Gobert. He kills whoever is in his way. He has the complete total package. Look, I thought Greg Popovich was outside his mind, was crazy when he said he's the modern-day Larry Bird. He really is. He
really is
special. And I mean, he can't jump over
thing,
a crazy card.
One thing,
and
Perk,
he's getting it done.
One thing, Perk, Bird was more of a killer. Like, Bird in the club. Like, I got to tell you, when I was a kid, I watched Bird, and I thought I hated him because he was on the Celtics, and I was a Knicks fan. But I thought inside, I was like, I'm never going to see a dude this good again. And then Jordan came around. I was like, all right, well, I just did. But Bird was like that. He won the MVP every year. Like, no one was – like, back then, no one was really arguing Magic over Bird or Moses over Bird. He was – and Jokic, there's something about Jokic that is not alpha like Bird. You know what I mean? So I get Popovich's point. But I don't – I think Jokic needs to take – and Berg was a much better defender than Jokic. But I think Jokic needs to take that next step still psychologically where he's going to decide, I'm the best player on the floor. I'm going to shut down this other team and take over the game. I don't think he's there yet. Is he there yet?
He is there yet, Max. And Jokic is a killer. He's a solid killer. Just because he don't, you know, talk a lot of noise, he kills you softly. He is very competitive. He gets the job done, and he has ice in his veins. When it matters the most, he delivers. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And so I've watched Jokic. He's clutch. When it's a possession-by-possession game, he delivers, Max. He delivers. So
he can do it all.
I get it. You know the problem that I have with all you old schools and you senior citizen guys is that you always talk about the killer and, back in the day, Bird and Jordan were killers. We killers too, okay? This new generation is killers too.
Some of y'all, not all y'all. Let's be honest. Like, put it this way, Perk. KD should be rated ahead of Bird based on skills package, right? He's not really, not yet. Not yet, because you need to prove that you could be the alpha on a championship team, and it's because of you. You didn't join something that was prepackaged, but you let – like when Bird showed up in Boston, they were a 20-something win team. They added him, they won 60-something games. You know, like to youngins like you, Perk just has an old soul, but he's really a youngin. You think we're talking about everyone in the old days. We're taking 50 years of basketball and picking out a handful of dudes. I'm not saying everyone from Bird's time. I'm saying Bird. I'm not saying everyone from Jordan's day. I'm saying Jordan. Notice I ain't talking Karl Malone. I'm talking Isaiah Thomas. Some dudes were killers in the clutch. Others weren't, just like today, Perk. Final thoughts.
Listen, Mac, let me tell you something. I know, right, and I get what you're saying about Kevin Durant. But when you think about Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant is a killer, okay? It was a lot of pressure for him to go to Golden State and deliver a championship the way he did. He delivered two, along with two finals MVPs, okay? So you have to have a killer mindset, Max, to do that. And, I get what you're saying. He went joined a 73-19, but he still had to deliver, Max. That is a killer mindset.
Yeah, well, we have different definitions, but this debate will go on. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Always love it when you hop on the show, Perk. You're gonna be back on First Take this week?
Am I going to be back on what?
First Take this week?
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, I'm always ready to go on First Take.
I want to make sure I didn't scare you off.
No, you don't never scare me off. Matter of fact, make sure you bring me back on the Max Kellerman show. All right, I need to be on here at least three times a week.
That's
to
true.
Keep you in line.
That's true, guys. He does need to be around here three times a week to keep me in line. I like that. That's true. Raj, get Perkins the time.
No, what? I'm going to call the snitch. I'm going to call the 1-800 snitch hotline on Perk. Last time we had him scheduled, he canceled us to go on another show.
Raj, don't do that now. Don't do that now, okay?
I'm only telling the truth.
Drop dime. Drop the dime. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, Perk. That's good, boy. That okie doke Perk just hit me with was pretty strong. Pretty strong. That was Breaking Moves with ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So, Chicago apparently got their man. Wait till you hear from Bears fans. The football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for this coming season. If you want to hire people that you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You don't wind up with Andy Dalton, you wind up with Russell Wilson. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max. Bears fans, how you like your new QB?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Whoa. No Deshaun, so what did the Bears do? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bears fans right now thinking about 1985 when they reminisce over you. Pete Rock and CL Smooth to figure this thing out. Perk joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. After never having a quarterback in my lifetime, and understand, I'm not a Bears fan, but I appreciate, like, if you listen to Michael Wilbon talk on TV about this, he's so mad. I'm going to play you the sound in a second, but I appreciate what Bears fans go through because I'm a Giants fan. It seems like a long time since 2011, 10 years, but I've lived through 4 Super Bowl championships, 5 Super Bowl trips. And sure, I wish the Giants were year in and year out more competitive. And that sometimes they won the Super Bowl, like other than 86, when they're like a year after the Bears' greatest season ever. You know, I wish the Giants were like favored sometimes to win the Super Bowl and did it, you know, instead of just like shocking the world every time, right? Once every 10 years, whatever. But at least I've lived through some great times with the Giants. Bears fans, 1985, you win the Super Bowl. Probably the greatest football team of all time, right? The Giants helped you out there, too, by beating the undefeated Patriots years later in 07. But 1985 Bears, like, if you talk about the greatest teams of all time in any sport, You'd say the 72-win Chicago Bulls. You'd say the 27 Yankees. Whether or not it's actually still true, that always meant the greatest team. The 85 Bears means the same thing. More than the 72 Dolphins undefeated, the 85 Bears. Right? It used to be like, you know, U.S. Steel, right? What would the equivalent be today? Apple or something like that, huh? Amazon, some like multi-billion, trillion-dollar company. That's what the 85 Bears meant. But even then, he didn't have a great quarterback. McMahon, come on. And that was it. It's the only thing the Bears have had to celebrate in over 35 years. So, it's like, think of how many great quarterbacks have been in the league. The Bears, I'd say the third best Bears or top three Bears quarterback of my lifetime, Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler. Think about that. Jets fans are even sitting there going, damn, that's bad. At least we had Testaverde when he still had something. Chad Pennington before he got hurt. Wet noodle for an arm, but he was a good quarterback. You know, at least we had something here and there, Favre for a minute. Jay Cutler's a top three quarterback in my lifetime watching football for the Bears. Ooh, P.U. So think of all the great quarterbacks. They haven't had an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger, anyone like that. They haven't had a Patrick Mahomes or a Deshaun Watson, though they were available in the same draft that they took Mitch Trubisky. Now think about this. If you draft a quarterback second overall, that's a huge expenditure of resources, of draft capital. But when you trade up to draft two overall and you bypass, you could have fallen back and gotten Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, but you trade up instead and take Trubisky? Oh, Bears fans are like, oh, you got to be kidding me. By the way, where is even a Matt Ryan or a Matthew Stafford or a Dak Prescott? Where? Just give me a very good, give me a B-plus quarterback. Can't do it. So now, Deshaun Watson wants to be traded. Have the Bears worked something out? Well, it's not a warm weather destination and he might not want to go there and da-da-da. Okay, how about Russell Wilson, who released on the record names of teams, four teams, that he would say yes to a trade to, and the Bears were one of them. Can't get it done. So you wind up signing Andy Dalton for a year. Andy Dalton, 1 year, $10 million, $3 million in incentives. It could be in addition to the 10, sources told Adam Schefter. Chicago made a, quote, very aggressive pursuit for Russell Wilson, but the Bears were told Seattle's not trading him at this time. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. But here's the thing. No one cares which regime it was and who did it, but they just got there and it's not their fault and the Bears didn't have the resources. All Bears fans know is another year is going to come and go, and another dude just like Andy Dalton, in this case Andy Dalton, is going to start under center for you. Oh, if I was a Bears fan, I'd be so mad. Michael Wilbon's a Bears fan. Listen to him.
This is a disaster. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that Dalton is the worst guy in the league. It doesn't mean that. And this guy, Ryan Pace, should be fired if this is all he can do. And his coach, Matt Nagy, because he didn't want to coach Trubisky, he wanted to pine away for his days as an assistant in Kansas City where he had Mahomes as a redshirt. He should be fired because he doesn't want to coach Trubisky. These guys, I've been telling you this for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. They are a disaster. They have led to ruin the Chicago Bears.
You got to get quarterback right. What the hell is the excuse in Chicago, that football crazy city, that Super Bowl starved town? What is the excuse for 35 years and you can't get quarterback right? Quarterback? You got 1 year where you're like, damn, that's a real good quarterback they have. Bears fans are tweeting and texting. If the Bears starting quarterback is Andy Dalton, that by the beginning of the year, I'm no longer a Bears fan. I'm embarrassed to be a Bears fan. Signing Andy Dalton is like scoring own goal. I'm not going to watch a single Bears game next season. If Andy Dalton's starting QB under center next year, I already said that. Oh, it's like they're all the same. Bears fans have had it. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM. Channel 80. By the way, Jets fans shouldn't be far behind. We've barely been any better with the Jets in terms of quarterbacks. And in recent years, even less success as a team. And now the team is like, really? They think they're considering keeping Sam Darnold? Add another team, by the way, that doesn't need to trade for Sam Darnold in Chicago. What did the Jets do now? Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And my computer career is training people to help meet the demand. Oh, I don't have IT experience. Not an issue. You don't need IT experience. Just take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Another team off the board because they signed Andy Dalton. What do the Jets do now?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
New York. Just run it back with Sam Darnold? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. So now that the Bears have their man, I guess, Andy Dalton, so that's one less team. You know, you could just cross that off a potential trade partner for the Jets, right? For Darnold? Is it drying up? The market? Is there really ever a market for Darnold? Like, think about this for a second. The same reason the Jets may want to bounce him is the same reason other teams may not want him. He still has promise. Yes, he's been the worst quarterback, starting quarterback in football since he entered the league. Pretty much without exception, right? Like, in a couple years, every year he's the worst. But he's had no stability. He hasn't had a lot of offensive weapons. He's had a change in coaches and regimes. He's been off the field to play with mono, right? Can run you down. He just went through a COVID year, as did everyone else, but that's a year you can't really develop the same way you might. And he does check a lot of boxes. He has size. He has an arm. He can apparently see the field. I think he can make decisions. He can throw the ball accurately enough, it seems. He's mobile. He has leadership ability. Guys like to play with him. But it's all adding up. In baseball, it's called a 4A player. He's too good for AAA, right? He's a star in AAA. Not quite good enough to be a star in the majors. A 4A player. Is Sam Darnold a 4A quarterback? Right? If Japan had a football league, could he maybe be a star in the Japanese football league the way baseball players? Because Japan was sort of 4A. Right? Like, not quite the majors above AAA, and older major league players or players who couldn't quite break in as stars in the majors could become that in Japan. Is there a place like that, Sam Darnold, goes to the CFL? But people still have reason to believe he's going to be pretty good. I still think he might be pretty good. But if you're the Jets, do you want maybe pretty good at this point? And then you're going to have to make a decision whether you want to pay him or not, or would you rather restart the clock with a high upside guy in the draft, right? Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones. Wouldn't you rather restart the clock with a guy with upside who might be great? I think it's safe to say Sam Darnold may wind up being good. He ain't going to be great. Bart Scott, ESPN host, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on the Jets situation.
Right now, all the Jets have to do is kick the can down the road. They have more options than most teams. They have a lot of draft equity. You don't think it's going to be a great quarterback next year? Well, if it's a great quarterback next year and the Jets don't have a great year, they're going to be positioned in the top 10 again with two first-round draft picks, right, with the opportunity if they move back this year to get three. So I think that they don't have to make a rush decision because their general manager, their coach, have job security. Now it's time for Joe Douglas to start, you know, making some winning moves.
Yep.
Yes. But he's only really had one draft. And if you look at what the first draft that he did, he brought in a lot of quality players. And he was like, all right, well, you know, this Mims guy, he looks like he can play, right? You know, you look at, you know, Davis, oh, he can play. You look at Becton, like he's a stud, right? So, like, and he picked him over a lot of other choices at that time. So he shows that he has an eye for talent. And now what is he going to do with 9 draft picks? If he has an eye for talent, what is he going to do with 9 draft picks in the first 3 rounds?
That's Bart Scott, host of Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. And look, I get it, but do the Jets, like the Jets, was it because of COVID? You can't really, you know, you don't know as much as you once did about a prospect at this point. But if you would think between among Zach Wilson and Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones, they would love one of those guys, right? Think one of them is going to be better than Sam Darnold, and the Jets pick 2nd. So they're not getting Trevor Lawrence. They have their choice of anyone else. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Dave in Minnesota, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Hey.
He said hey and then hung up on himself. Wow. Robert in Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Yeah, Max, I know you earlier you'd mentioned about the Remember the Titans team, and I played high school football at the same time. Mm. And the one thing about the movie that wasn't true is that they destroyed everybody. There were no close games.
Right. I'm glad that you correct the historical record. But I'm talking about the idea of in the film, the drama of Remember the Titans. The idea is you play the game in such a way that win or lose, you leave a piece of yourself, an impression on the person you played, right? Like one thing about Muhammad Ali is he had a different kind of respect for Joe Frazier. And I remember him talking about how when George Foreman got counted out in the Rumble in the Jungle in Zaire, Ali knocked him out. He watched Foreman getting counted out, and he said, as long as Joe Frazier had blood in his body, he'd never get counted out. Frazier would have gotten back up. And Foreman dribbled Frazier like a basketball, knocked him out in 2 rounds, knocked him out 6 times, right? But Frazier didn't get counted out. He was dusting himself off and getting back up, you know, the 6th time he got knocked down. There's some different kind of respect for a team that leaves an impression on you where that doesn't make it easy. And I was just using that to point out that the Knicks, what Thibodeau's saying is true. The Knicks are playing a brand of basketball where the Nets will remember that night they played the Knicks. So will the Sixers. Of course, the Knicks aren't going to be either one of those teams in a series. But they will remember the day they played the Knicks. L.A. feeling better about LeBron holding it down without AD?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.